recording. Hello, and this is Beyond Fandom. I am your host, MJ, and today again I am joined by LT.
Hey, hey, hey!
And Prodigy.
Yo.
And this is going to be the spoiler discussion for The Force Awakens, so don't even listen to this if you've not saw the film, unless you don't give a fuck and you just want to know what happens. So, here we go. Let's kick this thing off. Anyone want to jump in first with some big thoughts on anything?
Han, the platform scene with Kylo Ren is the best scene in this film. Hands down, the rest of the movie could have been Jar Jar Binks for 2 hours, and I still would have given it a thumbs up because of that scene. I predicted Han would die beforehand, but when it actually happened, as soon as he walked down that platform, right, my heart sunk. I was like, he's fucking dead. And it was a beautiful scene. I loved it and hated it at the same time. It was so beautiful. Harrison Ford warmed and broke my heart in the course of one film. I just love that guy again.
Is that like a free pass for the rest of his life now? You'll be like, you can do as many Indiana Jones films.
Look, and also, like, I have to give a shout out to him. That guy, Harrison Ford, gave probably the greatest media campaign in the history of media campaigns for this film. He was hilarious. He was trolling people. It was excellent. And his performance was excellent, and it was capped off by that great scene. As for me, the scene of the film.
I agree 100%. That scene was so strong that actually elevated the entire movie for me by like a whole notch or two. Like that, that was what I was talking about in the non-spoiler section, where I said there were things in this movie that were so strong. I did not expect anything to be to that level, where any of the sort of minor gripes I had with other things, I just forgot about. I was like, damn, like, wow, that was like the best scene in the movie.
A lump in my throat the entire time watching that thing, man. Because I knew it. Like, as soon as he, like, went out there, I was like, he's gone. Like, this is the last time.
Yeah, we all knew that. We all predicted that. I mean, that was, like, obvious. Yeah. But it was the way it went down was perfect.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was beautiful. I'm just saying, when Luke finds out, he's just going to fucking throw himself off that mountain range. He's like, I'm done.
MJ, you just brought up something else I wanted to bring up that I briefly touched on in the non-spoiler thing, was the scene with Luke, which has been a topic of contention with a lot of people I've seen so far who've seen the film. Mm. And they weren't happy with the location. They weren't happy with the fact that he didn't say anything, that he was in it so little. But this guy, for me, just in that one sequence, that one scene with Rey at the end, didn't say a single word. He didn't have to. He got like 30 years with a look. That's all he needed. I thought his performance, even though he was in it for about a minute, he was absolutely terrific. He said so much without saying a word.
I was going to say, I mean, out of the three trio, like Luke, Leia, and Han, Luke's definitely my favorite, so I was hyped to see him in this. I was like, where the fuck is Luke? I was like, he's not on the poster, he's not in the trailer. It's like, when you've got the suspicion that he's Kylo Ren or he's going to the dark side, I was like, where is Luke? And then when that opening crawl comes up, even the fucking film doesn't know where Luke is. I was like, damn it.
And that was, go ahead.
I was like, damn. And when he shows up, I was like, oh, that poor bastard, man. He looks like he's been crushed. And I'm like, such a weird thing to see Luke, considering how much we saw him go through in the trilogy. It's like, shit has gone down for him to feel like, nah. He's pretty much done a Yoda, hasn't he? He's just gone into isolation.
Yep.
But I was just going back to the opening crawl before I forget. That's such a weird one.
It was very red, very different to every other crawl I've ever had.
Yeah, I agree.
I was like, because I'm so used to like the expanded universe, when they're saying like General Leia Organa was like, "General." It's like, what? It's like, what on earth? It was just a very strange one. It was more personal about just three characters instead of like the galaxy is at war doing this, that, and the other, and like Luke Skywalker and Leia Organa. But yeah, I really loved the scene with Luke. His acting was very effective, but that's one of the reasons why I'm hyped to see the next film, because I want to see what he's going to do, how he's going to react. Like,
yep.
This one had Han. They're using the old characters very effectively.
Yeah.
And I just wonder what the fuck Chewie's going to do.
I love Chewie's reaction.
I wish we
Chewie
had
Chewie was Han. Really good in this, yeah.
I wish Chewie and Han. Oh, they're great. More of a Chewie reaction, though, because we know he roars and he shoots Kylo, but if I'm remembering correctly, we don't see any more of his reaction, and I'm thinking, these guys have been together for at least, like, 35 years. And I'm like...
That was something that someone pointed out to me that they didn't like, which is when they get back to Leia.
Yeah.
Chewie just walks past her. He leave, like the hug gets done with, you know, Rey and what have you, which, you know, this person was saying that was just bizarre. Like they wish they could have like redone that scene and had a moment with Chewie and Leia, which what is a bit weird. You think obviously because the connection they both have with Han would trigger something to happen there. But
I mean, like Chewie, you've got to look after the princess. I mean, from episode 5, I was like, you'd have thought. Exactly. And they even hug at the beginning of this film as well when they meet her. Like,
yeah,
that was such a sweet moment.
So I was like, it was a bit odd that there's no connection there. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It that irks was one me.
Because
I've saw it twice now. And first time, it's like, oh, he roared and he shot him. But then you think, actually, this isn't some guy he's just known for a day or two. It's like 35 years.
Yeah. So, but I like. I think that scene where he does react was great. Like, I 100% agree with you. There should have been like a follow up to that. But I loved the entire reaction. Like, it was great.
See.
To me, definitely that initial reaction. Everything. Yeah. I mean, that whole scene was just amazing, you know?
I think some props.
Yeah, because, like, he roars, and he's, like, clearly sad, and then he's, like, he just pulls the gun, he's, like, fuck it, like, I'm just gonna kill this prick.
He's, like, fuck
blows
you.
Everything up,
yeah. And think about it, too, like, Chewie knows that that's his son, too. You know?
Yeah, like, he's, like, yeah. Fuck it. It's, like, don't have to bring you back.
That reminds me, going back to the point I was gonna say, something I thought they handled really well was, you know, how they establish these plot elements that I think most people, at least fans anyway, had already speculated on and sussed out.
Yeah.
So, like we had said, you know, Luke will probably just be at the end of the movie. And remember, my whole sort of theory was that both sides are looking for him, etc. They just started off the movie with that, in no surprise, you know. That was in the crawl.
And the whole Kylo Ren, they got that out of the way. Nice
exactly.
Easy.
I was hoping they wouldn't do, you know, like a big reveal drag because it's so obvious, right? And they don't. They handle it so well. I was really happy with that stuff.
What's his name? Max von Sydow or whatever.
Max von Sydow.
I was like, what the fuck?
I knew he would be killed at the beginning of the movie. Not I knew, I suspected, but not that quickly. I thought he'd have more of a, you know, an integral part.
I was like, this film, they didn't really fuck about, did they? It's like, if you got a speaking part that interacts with the main guys, you've got to be a good actor.
Yeah.
It was like, if you're an extra that talks, like, the rumors of Daniel Craig being that stormtrooper, it's like, they've really got all out. But I was surprised when I saw him just bite the bullet like that. I thought, is he going to be in any of the other films? Did he just really want to be a part of the franchise? Like, I said to, I think, Josh, I was like, easy paycheck right then and there. It's like, one day of filming, I'm done.
Shot for a day. Get to be in the biggest film of all time and just bugger
off. But the thing is, he was in Flash Gordon and David Lynch's Dune. So, you know,
he's got his sci-fi chops.
Exactly. But I knew he was going to go in this movie, and I knew it was going to be at the beginning in that sort of scene. But
I love that opening as well with Poe Dameron. I really wanted more of him after that whole first like 15, 20 minutes with him. I was like, oh, and then he disappears. It's like, bring him back.
That's the whole movie with him. It's obvious from the trailers that you get that, you know,
he wasn't dead.
And then you get him towards the end. Yeah, so there you go.
The thing, though, going back to that Han scene, just props to how they had that stage with, like, the sunbeam illuminating the place, and you had half his face lit up and the other half in red. And then when the base is finished absorbing the sun, it just drops completely to red on his face. He's like, thank you. He just fucking guts him. Like, damn, something can run into that. Like, the brainstorm of that is like, how are we going to get this? Because they show it completely without needing to have words said. Run off, Han. Run. Don't do it. Please let the bridge fall apart.
I wish his body didn't fall down the thing. You know what I mean? I would have. No.
Like, if he just chases off after Finn and Thingy, then Chewie could have just picked up the body and ran. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Because that's sad, like, man. His body's just.
He's gone.
It's gone, yeah. But I think, in a way, it's better this way because, like, you know, it makes it easier to take.
Yes, true. If we'd actually seen, like, the burial or the burning of his body, we would have been forever devastated.
I was devastated seeing how brutal it fucking was.
And cut straight through him.
I think
that's what I... Go ahead.
I was about to say, I think that's what's going to cement Kylo. Because he ain't making this film out with any redemption arc. His ass is dead.
No, I think he will be redeemed by the
end. I think
100%
focus on his redemption arc. Yeah.
Just like I really appreciate
being manipulated.
He's so conflicted. He was so conflicted the entire movie. Like even when he kills Han, but it's not out of like he doesn't hate him. Like he's doing it. For like his mind's warped. He's doing it for really fucked up reasons, but in his mind, he's doing the right thing.
Nah,
this is what he needs to do.
Like said, I cannot
think about
have
it.
A rehash
Vader
of Vader.
Did some fucked up things. Nah, I think he'll be redeemed.
No, the thing with Vader though was he's done fucked up things with us knowing due to the prequels of what he did.
Here's some fucked up things in the original trilogy, though, as
to be fair, he did more fucking damage to his own army than anyone else. Like, he was choking his own admirals left, right, and center. It was like, don't need you, I think.
So, I was just going to say before, with, like, this film, I was really impressed by how they did all the action, but how they did the violence. Like, when you saw a stormtrooper get shot, you saw, like, a burning hole in their chest. With the lightsaber duels, you could like feel like every time someone got like sliced.
Well, this is the thing I was going to say.
They didn't
when
slice
you were talking
limbs.
About the violence. Yeah, well, there was two things. One, lightsabers didn't look like they were taking off limbs and stuff. It looked like they were more like knives, you know, cutting into people. But the other thing I was going to say was, I think I could be wrong. I think this is the first time we saw blood. From the fights since A New Hope, when Obi-Wan cuts that guy's arm off in the cantina.
Yeah.
Why?
You don't get it in Empire. In Empire, like when Luke's hand gets cut off, you see nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think this is, I could be wrong, I think this is the first time, though, since A New Hope, which was a bit surprising to me. And it's not just that fight scene at the end. I think there was earlier bits in the movie where there was, wasn't there?
In the
beginning,
where he gets his face
touches Finn's mask, yeah. So that surprised me that they went, they showed the, blood in it.
I do have to give props, though, to the real Captain Phasma who decided to fight it out with Finn. Like, where he's got, like, this weird stick and he starts fighting Finn on that planet.
Yeah, they should have probably put Captain Phasma there because she really didn't. Well, I was a bit disappointed that I wasn't expecting her to do much, right? I
but
thought
she'd
be, you know, in the background.
Something.
She really did not.
Compared to that stormtrooper, he was like, the balls on that guy's like, I'm going to kick your ass, man. I'm throwing away that gun. I'm just going to try and fight you.
True. The one reason that I didn't really mind that, though, was because it shows you that even these guys are, you know, just standard stormtroopers. There is something, they do have skills, right? AKA yeah. Finn does have skills, right? They try to elevate these guys as just being, you know, frontline troops or what have you. So that was okay.
I think it added like a new danger though, that like before lightsabers used to be like, if you've got a blaster gun or you anyone but a Jedi, you're fucked.
Yeah.
But it shows that actually, unless you're super duper with a sword, these guys have kind of got you numbered now. It's not like you can be a one-man army. And I did like how Finn was effective with a lightsaber, but he wasn't like taking everyone down. It was more like a bit of luck here and there to do the job.
Yeah, I thought it was handled really well. I know there's going to be people who are disappointed by the way the final fight went, but it made sense.
Are you saying disappointed with the fact that Rey kind of wins, or?
No, the fact that Finn gets taken out and Rey has to take over and finish the job.
Don't send a man to do a woman's job. But the thing is, though, going back to that final fight, I'm still not sure how I feel about Rey winning. And they managed to save face by saying, bring Kylo Ren with you. I need to finish his training. So it's like he's the finished article either. And
yeah.
Yeah.
They did allude to the fact like this guy has been shot and he has to like hype himself up by feeling that pain to feel that rage. But you could tell he was more skilled than the other two guys. But
yeah, but I mean, that fight was good as well. It was much better than... I mean, it was along the lines of what I thought they were going to do. I was going to say it was much better than the fights from the prequels. I didn't really like that style. I know everyone loves the Phantom Menace fight because of the acrobatics, but I think it was a bit OTT. This was more like I predicted it would be, where it's more balanced, somewhere in between that and, you know, the originals. I mean, I just really liked it.
See, the fights were really good, in my opinion, because there's... The problem I've got with some of the prequels is it looks nice, but when there's obvious killing blows to be taken and they're flapping about, I'm like, kill them.
Other than the Darth Maul fight in Phantom Menace, I actually didn't like the fights in the prequels because they were like dance numbers. They were just too over choreographed. I had this argument with a guy I went to the midnight screening with, actually, because he likes the fights in the prequels, especially Obi-Wan and Anakin in episode 3. I was like, I don't know, like, for a fight that's meant to be, like, this huge build-up between these two, like a father-son-brother-like relationship, and it's like a fight to the death, it was just like, there were so many moments where they both could have, like, struck a killer blow, and they were both just fucking about, dancing around, flipping. I just didn't like it.
But there's something about the lightsabers as well, where they looked kind of unstable.
Like, Kylo's was right.
His looked, but whenever they just clashed, they just looked like.
I liked Kylo's lightsaber in this because it really did seem like it was like all jagged, like he made it himself on the fly, like.
But yeah. I liked how he was starting to sear into Finn's shoulder with the blade, the cross guard. That looks so fucking painful.
Yeah, look, that's what I meant. Like, you could feel like every blow in this. It was really well done.
But
I love the ending too with how they get separated when the planet's like fucking up.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just see them each on their respective I thought it was really fun.
I was a bit hit and miss with that because it felt like an obvious way they had to try and split them up without one of these guys dying. It reminds me a bit too much of Captain America, where he's on the bridge with, like, Red Skull, and someone retracts the bridge, and they get separated.
Yeah, but there's, like, a time and place for these sorts of things, and I think this is it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but that's what we kind of had to do. It was a hard place to get out of it for them, because obviously if Kylo wins, he's just going to kill them both. easy done. If he doesn't, then you risk making him not look that powerful, like the intimidating villain. So they have just about saved face, but can anyone answer? Do they lose a fucking limb? Because
no,
I know his face gets scarred, but I couldn't tell both times what happens to his lightsaber if he has his hand cut off or if his lightsaber gets destroyed.
No,
I'm pretty sure he didn't lose a limb. He was just, you know, getting cut up, which, like I said, was odd because the idea, you know, you always have of a lightsaber is if it hits you in the face, you're dead.
Yeah.
But I kind of like the fact that there's something more, you know, actual blade-like about it, where these guys just getting cut and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, what I like, the way I saw it was like the tip, if it goes through, like, it's like a sword blade. Like if it goes straight through, whereas like he was getting hit by the edges. And it was just slicing him. I loved that though. I loved how it was just like they were carving into each other, especially with the shot he gave to Finn, like straight up the back.
Mate, damn, I was like,
he got fucked up.
Hope you missed your spine because you're going to be in a wheelchair next film.
I was thinking, I was like, I actually hope this guy comes back with like cybernetic parts and stuff. So
that's racist.
That looked fucking painful, that did, but. I wish they've established for lightsabers now that we don't slice people off, because let's not forget in Return of the Jedi when Luke's on that sail barge, he's not hacking people in half, it's kind of hitting them and it looks like a bat's whacking them.
True, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, there is precedent for that. Like,
you know what I did there? I love that they essentially dismissed the prequels, like not a mention of like midichlorian bullshit. They brought back like the magic of like what the Force is.
Yeah.
And I think that what really worked with helping that was the character's name? Maz Kanata, the motion capture one that Lupita Nyong'o played, which I thought was great. Like there were two motion capture characters, her and Snoke, and I thought she worked, whereas Snoke is one of my minor complaints. Like, he didn't look, even though he was a hologram, like, he didn't look like a real character. He looked like a computer-generated image, whereas, I mean, obviously he was, but the actual character itself. Whereas I thought the textures of her character looked like an actual thing, and I thought she was great. I liked that whole sequence as well. Like, I told him, like, it reminded me of, like, the cave sequence in Empire.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what it was meant to be, obviously. But I partially agree with that. I mean, one of the things I didn't like about the movie was the way Snoke looked. Who I'm pretty sure he's still meant to be like the Darth Plagueis character. But I mean, they can try and justify it by saying he's a hologram, but I just thought it looked too cartoony.
Yeah.
And actually, even though it was better, I still didn't really like the way Maz Kanata was brought to life. There was something cartoony about it. I mean, that was the first thing actually in the movie where I looked at it and I thought, okay, I don't want to see too much more of that, was when they're on Han and Chewie's massive fucking vessel.
Yeah.
And you see the eye of one of those creatures on the window. I thought that looks a bit too cartoony. They looked better actually when they were out. Those were meant to be the creatures from A New Hope, right? That are in the trash compactor.
What?
Were they? Or were they not? I'm asking.
I didn't think so. Not to my knowledge.
With the tentacles and stuff.
Mm.
No, I wasn't sure.
If they was, dropped the fucking ball there.
In fact, actually, there were three things in that scene that all hit me quite quickly as to, like, I don't like this, I don't like this, and I don't like this, the cartoony eye. Then when that Scottish dude turned up, he took me out of the movie.
Felt like Guardians of the Galaxy, like they just stumbled into one of their sets.
I love the raid guys, though.
That was the third thing. The raid guys, I was... Oh, you know, really looking forward to seeing them in the movie. At first, I thought probably going to play like the Knights of Ren and we'll see like a little fight scene. Then I thought, okay, maybe they're just going to be like bandit types on Jakku or something like that, and again we'll see a fight scene. Like, I'm thinking they have to be in there for a fight scene. Then when we see them in this thing, I'm thinking, they they're gonna fight the other guys. And they don't fight anyone. I was like, what's the point in getting them?
That was slightly well, they were the fight choreographers.
Okay.
Oh.
That's see, why. And then they were essentially just put in the film just because, like,
that makes more sense.
I didn't recognize them until the second viewing.
Prodigy, we finally found something Prodigy didn't know.
There's a lot of stuff I don't know. No, that does make sense. They were basically everyone who wasn't a main character was some sort of cameo, apparently. The stuff with Daniel Craig and Simon Pegg. Yeah, they're all in there, so that does make sense.
What's her name's daughter's in there too? Carrie Fisher's daughter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow. Admiral Akbar's in there as well, along with that guy from Return of the Jedi with Lando. Seriously, those guys. Like,
pussy face.
Admiral Akbar didn't even get much of a fucking say. I thought he was fish guy.
Akbar's a general.
Yeah.
I thought he was supposed to be an admiral.
He's probably a general now, is what I mean. You know what I mean? Like, the guy's like, I wouldn't imagine he's still a fucking lower, like, you know what I mean? The guy.
I thought Admiral would be higher up than general.
Yeah, isn't Admiral the highest rank?
I don't know. Where's Tim? He's the expert. Demoted? Tim.
Probably different branches of the army, though. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I liked Akbar.
But I didn't even fucking think it was Akbar.
Just it was a random.
You thought it was another fish guy.
Yeah, because they had plenty of him on his ship. So it was like,
The Mon Calamari. Really, could they not think of a better name? Lucas. Anyway, no, I was happy with seeing Akbar and Nope and these other guys and what have you. But trying to think. Yeah, that's the guy, yeah. What else wasn't I?
Okay, one thing I had issues with. This would have been a lot better if I'd never seen an Abrams Star Trek film. Because the problem I had with it was this felt more in terms of visuals and looks closer to those Star Trek films that we've seen recently that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the X-Wing fight at the end with like the lights on the ships and stuff like that. It reminded me of Into Darkness when they go to the Klingon planet.
Okay, yeah.
And they've got like the lights on the ship. It looks more realistic. Yeah. And
you just remind me of one of my favorite sequences, MJ. Sorry to interrupt.
Nah,
but
go for
the
it.
The scene where like where Poe and everyone shows up and they're fighting the
is this Tamas Kanata's castle?
Yeah, and like it flies over. I think it's the overhead of Finn, and then like you see it's all one shot, and he goes overhead, and he's chasing a TIE fighter, and he goes around a building. They come out the other side, and he like blasts it. I was like, that's exactly what I've always wanted to see in these movies. Like,
I agree. I love that
guy is a killer pilot. I was counting the second view, and he took down like 4 TIE fighters in one go, and then 4 stormtroopers on the ground. It's like killing machine.
Poe was a really good character. Like I loved, you know, when they're in the TIE fights. Like, I always want to fly one of these, and you get this idea when he's in it that, you know, it is very different to what he's used to, and you know, he's enjoying it.
What was so good though, I just loved the fucking banter between the characters.
That's the thing,
because it felt like a new hope. Like the banter, it felt natural and funny, and there's stuff like, "I'm here to rescue you," and he's like, "Why?" Because it's the right thing. He's like, "You need a pilot, and I need a pilot."
He's like, "Yeah."
That's the thing. That was great. There was a lot more humor in it than I expected.
But they said that from the beginning with Poe, with when he gets confronted by Kylo at the beginning.
Like, who talks first?
Or do I talk? Who talks first? I talk. You talk. That was excellent.
But it all worked because it was reminiscent of the humor in the original trilogy.
There wasn't a joke that didn't land. Like every joke that was meant to be funny was funny.
I will tell you something though. The crowd I saw it at midnight lapped it up. They loved it. The crowd I saw it with this morning, fucking miserable bastards.
It was too early for them.
They weren't laughing at all. I was like, fuck you guys, get a sense of humor. This is great.
Should have actually stood up and said that, but yeah.
It's like, you're fucking useless hand eyes. I'm off.
they didn't laugh at all the BB-8 stuff where he's looking back and forth.
No, like they laughed twice
the thumbs
throughout
up.
That film.
What about when Chewie's like, when he gets asked, oh, so you're so incredibly brave. He's like, yeah.
Like, the stuff they laughed at.
Fuck him.
Was mainly two things, and that was with fucking Finn and someone else. Like, they didn't even laugh at the bit where Han Solo's like, you know, when have I ever let you down? Like, I've let you down once, and they're like, twice. I was like, when was the second time?
Yeah,
yeah, that was great.
Like, I started to remember a lot of the dialogue from these films already. Like,
damn. Yeah, that's what I mean. It was like, it was just better than I hoped for. You know, this exactly. is why. Like, I mean, you know, people like C1 or whatever didn't like it. They thought it was like the prequels. That's their opinion, I suppose. But I really just, I can't see it.
I don't see that at all.
Such a strong entry and such a strong way to like revitalize the franchise that I can't complain, you know?
Like, I can understand if someone's disappointed by it. You know what I mean? Because there, and obviously like people who will, they have genuine complaints of like, you know, it was too similar to New Hope. And that's fair enough. But like, that's what I personally wanted and I enjoyed out of it. Could they have done something different? Sure. But to restart this franchise and to get that goodwill back that the prequels had damaged, I think this was the smartest way to go. And I think they executed it brilliantly. But if people say it's a crap film, people who say it's a pile of crap or rubbish, I think they were going in with the wrong attitude. I think they were going in wanting to dislike it. But yeah, I can understand disappointment, like I said, if you wanted something different and you didn't get it. Fair enough. But it's obviously a well-made film. It was the action, the music, the everything, acting, across the board. Like, it was all strong.
I think the acting was the thing that really surprised me. Not just Adam Driver. I mean, Adam Driver just killed it.
But Harrison Ford as well, like,
yeah, but everyone. Like everything with Daisy Han, Chewie, Leia, right, you know, John Boyega was amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
There was one thing that was odd about his character, but I picked up from the trailers, which is, you know, he's meant to be this
child soldier.
Right. And
he's
charismatic and he's got so much personality. Yeah. You're like, where did that come?
I was like, where did that come? Exactly. I said the same thing.
but I already saw that in the trailer. So, you know, I expected it.
It was weird. Like, it was odd, like, that his character would maybe be that way. I mean, maybe there's an explanation for it, but I didn't care because I just enjoyed his character so much.
Same, yeah.
The thing that distracted me today, though, seeing it the second time, is he says, you've got a boyfriend? It's like, I can't remember the word boyfriend, girlfriend uttered in Star Wars before. I was like, what?
Especially like a guy who's been raised as a child soldier, you'd think he probably wouldn't even know about what that is, that kind of thing is.
Maybe he's someone's like boyfriend in the first order.
Like almost the first girl he's seen. I think they could have gone that way maybe, but you know, whatever.
There were a few bits of dialogue that seemed like slightly out of place for Star Wars, but they weren't like completely crazy. It was things that you're like,
and it didn't pull me out of the movie. Yeah, and they didn't completely pull me out of the movie when those things happened either.
Literally, there were two things that kind of pulled me out slightly, which was, like I said, that Scottish dude who just, I don't know where they found him, but I could have just done that part. I honestly, like, it wasn't the accent.
Are you campaigning?
No, the accent sounded odd for like Star Wars, but then there's so many different accents. Why not have a clear Scottish accent in there? Fine. But the actor kind of just, I was like, who is this guy? He's pulling me out of the movie. Like, it's rubbish. Anyway, there was that. And then when they get to the whole basically going over the Death Star plans again, I was like, that was the most heavy-handed sort of callback to, you know, the originals.
I just hate that bullshit where it's like, the Death Star is this big, this one's even bigger. It's like,
yeah. The thing is,
it's even bigger, and you sent less people to go fucking deal with it.
But like, that scene looked good. The trench scene looked good, and even the way you know, the planet exploded looked good or imploded. But all three of those things were just so similar to, you know, A New Hope. I kind of let it go though, because like I said, you know, I said this in the other podcast. I was like, I'm willing to let the rehash stuff go if the film is really good. And like I said, it was better than I expected. And then you had stuff like, you know, we said, what was the best scene in the movie? with Kylo and Han. That just elevated the whole thing for me. So, yeah.
Question, though. How would you guys feel about this film if you did a marathon and you watched 4, 5, 6, and 7? It feels like you almost see the same film 3 times.
In close proximity. I'd have to actually do it and comment, MJ. I can't.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean, but it's one of those things. You know, I love the universe. I love the characters. I'd be happy to
like,
sit through it.
I really love the characters, but the problem I'm gonna have is like, oh fuck's sake, another super death station that can blow up a planet again. Yeah.
To me, like that wasn't like the, I agree with you 100%. But like, to me, that was like a MacGuffin. Like I didn't care about it. I was more invested in the characters. I knew where the characters were going. Like it was all about getting to Kylo Ren. Like I didn't care about the planet stuff. That stuff was I didn't not care about it, but it was secondary to me. So I was more focused on that. So I didn't really put that much focus or thought into the other stuff.
Yeah.
So I didn't really mind. And I thought like what this film successfully did as well was like, as I said, sets up the groundwork. Episode 8, Episode 9. It's all there now. We can go. They can go crazy. We've got our faith in the franchise back. We're invested in these characters. We want to see where they go. I mean, the ending. We want to see what happens next with Luke. We're there. We're all in. We want to see where Kylo goes. We want to see more of Poe Dameron. We want to see Captain Phasma actually do something.
Yeah, I hope both her and Poe have bigger parts in.
Love that episode 8. Thing.
I think they will do.
That joke is like. You guys got a trash compactor? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. And the way they set it up where he was in sanitation and stuff, like, that was good.
It's like, oh my God, that is a fucking line about how that. It's like, I worked at sanitation. Sanitation? What do you think we're going to do? It's like, I was hoping we could use the force or something. Like,
yeah. That's not how it works.
You're cold. I'm cold.
Every line out of Harrison Ford's mouth, he made it work. He was so brilliant. He deserves some big time attention. He was brilliant. I fucking loved him, man. Like, this is a guy I've been like, you know,
slapping
on slapping for like the last few years because he became the grumpy old man, and that's what I was really worried about. I didn't want to see grumpy old Han. But he fucking killed it. Like, not a single misstep on his part. He just slid straight back in. And it wasn't like he was just Han. Like, it was a Han who had experiences as well. Yeah. So, he was, and Chewie. Han and Chewie, for me, stole the movie. I loved Adam Driver as well. Like, those were, for me, the three standouts, I thought. Daisy Ridley was 100%. The star.
I think the so actual good. Upsetting thing about this film, though, is...
And BB-8 for MJ.
Let's not forget John Boyega.
Yeah.
He was really good at it. The things I loved the most were, yeah, Adam Driver's performance and Han and Chewie and just the way they worked so well. I mean, yeah, I even liked that crazy massive ship they gave him where they scoop up the Falcon and all that. Like, because remember when we did the podcast, I thought, okay, they have to get on the Falcon with these guys before they go to... Maz Kanata's place, so I just assumed it was on Jakku, but having it was actually more interesting. Right. Yeah.
When they kept saying like, "What about that ship? No, that ship's garbage." Like, it's gonna be the Falcon.
Straight away.
Such a good build up because everyone knows, right? As soon as they say it, she could have said actually that's a piece of junk, right?
And because like
it's gonna be the Falcon.
Because like they set up in the old movies that everyone continually says the Falcon's a hunk of junk. Like
exactly. Yeah.
I did dig that they couldn't take off properly at first and it was just fucking scraping off the place. Like, and then they take off, like, and the music kicks in, it's like dun 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 dun. It's like, oh my
just
god.
Just to backtrack a sec, like with John Boyega, like I think everyone who saw Attack the Block knew that this guy would be a big star if he got the chance. But the guy just has it. Like, he just has that natural charisma.
Yeah, definitely.
And he killed it in this movie. Like, you could tell he just really wanted to do something great because he loved being there so much.
What I loved about the character as well was how he was like, he wasn't a sidekick. He was like this vitally important guy without being like you know, like the main guy. He's like, he's the guy who brought everything together, connected everything, you know, freed Poe and all. Like it just worked.
I like the fact he's like, I'll lie just to go save this fucking chick. And Han's like,
I'm kind of a big deal. Okay, big deal.
Mr. Big Deal. It's like, big deal. Every time I kept the place in Big Deal, it's like, he's basically called Mr. Big Dick over here.
But that scene reminded me of Anchorman, where it's like, you know, I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah, exactly.
But then the sad thing is that after Jedi, it's like, oh, all these characters live happily ever after. It's like, they fucking don't. They have some real shit go down in their life. Sen turns into a fucking psycho, kills all the Jedi.
I have a question too for you both. Before we wrap up, I want to ask you both a question. We all had our thoughts on our preview show, and it will get obviously revealed in either episode 8 or 9, but where do you see Rey going in terms of her lineage and who she is? Do we still think she's the sister of Kylo Ren, and they think that she's passed away? Is she someone else's daughter? Is she Luke's daughter?
That would maybe just
one's relative? Who do we think she is?
Be too retarded for it to be Ren's sister and Han's daughter, because it's like their interactions. They do have a nice interaction, but you're like, there's no fucking way they would just ignore the fact it's their daughter.
You know, but like they can get around that by saying like they thought, you know, how Prodigy said in the podcast a few weeks ago, where like they think that she's long dead. But my theory now is, who do you think she is?
I think it's very likely she could be Luke's daughter.
Yeah.
And her mother left her on Jakku because she was fearful. Because that's the one thing that was weird, because everyone sort of was assuming that they were going to be twins, right? I think that's probably something, you know, from the expanded universe and also the whole Luke Leia thing. And even I was thinking, okay, it's a high possibility they could be twins. But I kept thinking, there's like over 10 years difference in their ages, in the actors' ages, and they don't look the same age. So it would be a bit of a stretch. Not crazy, which is why it was a possibility, but it'd be a bit of a stretch to think they were twins. So
you think they're cousins?
Yeah, it actually makes sense that she's, you know, a decade or so younger. Well, it would be more, but her mother was fearful, you know, the same thing might happen or whatever.
Well, I think, you know, they all obviously kicked off with like Kylo, you know, turning to the dark side and like starting to kill the Jedi around Luke that he was training.
I know we see that glimpse, but we don't know how old he was when that went down, because I assume in that glimpse the way he looks is not the way he actually looked when it went down, so he could have been, you know, 12, 13, something like that, because we have to assume there's been a bit of time since he's been under Snoke's, you know, guidance and stuff. So to me it kind of makes sense, and it might have not been like instant. She might have been like, you know, a year or two old before she was abandoned.
So who do you think the mother is then? Do you think it's going to be someone that we will eventually meet, or where do you see that going?
I don't know. It depends if they want to make it a case where the mother was like a Jade Mara type character, where she was like force sensitive and she had this relationship with Luke, or to be honest, it could go either way, where she's just not, she's forgotten about and she's not discussed or whatever, and she was just like a regular person. Or they could go the other way if they want to be do something maybe a bit more interesting and more personal. I don't think it really matters, to be honest, but and the key to why, you know, I was leaning to the fact that she's very likely Luke's daughter was the lightsaber. You know, it's like it's calling to her. It's, you know, why would it call to her if she's just a random full sensitive?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I also threw out the theories to MJ. Like, just I said, like, there are, like I said, those were the two possibilities, that she's either the Han and Leia daughter or she's Luke's daughter. But also, like, throughout, like, the really left field ones of like, she could be a descendant of the Emperor, she could be a descendant of Obi-Wan as well. I think those are the only options. Like, she can't just be, she just can't be some random, you know what I mean? Like,
the other thing, I actually just thought about this while you were saying that. The other reason why I think it's likely she could be Luke's is when she's fighting Kylo Ren and she says to him,
"The island and the sea."
Well, there's that whole thing. What is that? But this whole thing with which says, you know, you're worried you won't be as powerful as Darth Vader. Is it her that says that to him? Yeah. I don't remember. Yeah. Someone says that to him.
Something along those lines.
And when they're fighting, you can see she's really fucking powerful with the Force. You know, the way she pulls the saber to her and everything. Yeah. So it would actually, I think, be
with
more
no training. Too.
Right. It would actually be more dramatic if they are cousins, but because she's direct from Luke, she's more powerful than Kylo is. I don't know. And I think the ending was interesting, the way they left it, where it doesn't say anything, because that could be the thing, right? He knows it's his daughter. It was a bit awkward how she just sort of stood there
forever. Yeah. Just holding it out.
I was like,
take the fucking saber, Luke, you bastard.
I didn't like the fact he had the fucking robot arm, though.
Well, Wake Up, our good friend Wake Up from the UK, he kept telling me that he's the dude. He goes, the fucking dude showed up in this movie.
Okay.
Nah, for me, like...
That's what he's, like, you know, beard, the robe. I was like, yeah.
I just don't get
that's
why...
Just your opinion, man.
But that's when like, it's... he was it's just an Obi-Wan look. That's why I expected him to look exactly. like.
Yeah, exactly.
But the thing is, though... The fact they've established you can get prosthetic limbs in this universe, which has skin on it.
I love
like.
The hand.
Well, no,
look,
that's the
I
thing. It's a robot hand, but it's got that skin sort of grafted over it or whatever, right?
Yeah.
You imagine if he's been in isolation for however long it's been, and he's just on that little island, that something would happen to it, and you wouldn't be able to replace it.
The thing is when we see the flashback with R2, where he places his hand down, and it's like, oh, yeah. it's still different. A robotic. Yeah. Limbo as well. It's like,
yeah,
it made sense if it was just the skin.
I think that was fine. They needed to do it, but it made sense to do it in that scene. We saw it in the trailer, but it lets you know
it's
that's
Luke.
It, even though you don't see his face.
But, you know, poor R2 got shafted as well.
I thought that was a little silly, honestly.
I was
like
about
the whole,
to say.
Like, ever since Luke went, he went into like.
I was like, why didn't he fucking go with Luke?
Yeah, I was like, that was a little weird for me. That was one of my little minor quibbles with the movie. Like, I was like, a little goofy. Like, he's so depressed. A robot's so depressed. Like, fuck off. Like,
there's that, but then I think there's also this idea that maybe Luke sent him away. And he had not a mission, but he knew when it was time to kind of reactivate.
Yeah.
I mean, he was activated, I think. He was just, sitting
around. Low power
exactly,
or some shit.
Yeah. So but, it wasn't like he was timed. Like, he was aware of what was going on. He's like, now it's time to fill these guys in because one of these people, aka Rey, needs to go and find Luke.
I do wish they thought of a better idea of visualizing the map, though. Because the fact they had all the other pieces apart from the last piece, I was like, well, I'm sure you could just go fucking search all the shit there, right?
On Google Maps?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they got spaceships.
That was one of the things that was odd. I don't know if you remember what I was saying on the podcast about, both sides would be looking for Luke and the lightsaber would be the key to it. I can't remember if I said it, but I was thinking like...
You're off.
I was like, there's obviously not going to be some sort of map on it, but there's something there that like guides them to...
It was just a USB stick.
That's it. That was it. It was a map at the end of the day. So even
and
though
then Kylo just wanted this... I loved though when he sees the saber at the end, how he's like, that's mine.
Yeah.
I loved Kylo Ren.
I thought he was actually on a search for the saber. I was thinking it's because, the secrets of like sort of how to build a proper one have been lost, and he's tried to build one on his own, and it doesn't quite work properly. And that's the only one that's out there that he can get his hands on. So
that was fucking awesome, bro, where he stops the laser bolt in midair.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing.
I was like, whoa.
Oh, lost my shit.
I was like, I've not saw that before. And the way he just frees it, and the body of Poe as well is like, just got him both. When he just lets it go.
And Oscar Isaac sold that moment perfectly. Like, he was just shocked.
I love Kylo Ren's Force.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I like Kylo Ren's outbursts.
Oh, yeah.
The
Stormtrooper.
Anything else? And then the Stormtrooper one was the best.
Yeah.
They just, never mind.
I felt for that poor bastard who had to keep giving them the bad news.
Yeah.
I was like, he's just watched that console get trashed. And he's like, anything else? Like, oh, for fuck's sake. Well, yes.
He's just a strong character. I mean, and Driver he was perfect for it.
That was the thing, though. When they destroy the planets with it, I was like, what planets are these? Because I thought it was going to be Coruscant at first when I saw it. It was like the New Republic, but apparently it's not. And that's where it got hazy, because I'm like, have they just wiped out the New Republic? Or they said they've attacked the fleet and all of that shit.
I basically thought it was like the headquarters, like the main planet or planets where the New Republic is located. Essentially like the equivalent of Coruscant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at first I actually thought it was this Coruscant, but then...
Because it did look like it at first with the cityscapes. So I was like...
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I was like, has JJ just been like, fuck you, prequels.
But I mean, that's the thing. Even though, it was a rehashing of that, I still like the way... And they, visualized. You know, things looked visually exactly. And it was different. So
I did like seeing like the visual of it going past the Star Destroyer with Kylo Ren on the bridge, and you just saw the red go across. Like, that was cool. The way it splintered off into different fragments for each of the planets.
Oh, that reminds me. The other thing that I loved was the very beginning, as soon as the crawl goes up, because I was thinking, how are they gonna
with the silhouette?
Like every movie sort of just moves down over, you know, a planet or something. And what's he going to do that's going to sort of match A New Hope? And I just thought that was great. Straight away, I was like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing.
Yep.
And he does the silhouette of the planet. And that was what I meant by it seemed a bit Star Trek-like because of the way he's used some of the shots in there.
But it's just a more updated thing. We saw that in the trailers as well. I mean, you have... some stuff that you'd never get from Lucas, the other guys, Kirshner and Marcon, where the way like Rey's flying the Falcon and the camera sort of going all over the place and swooping around. And there was also that shot that was in the trailers, which is a really cool shot where Poe and Finn see each other as they're getting ready to go into battle and the camera swoops around. I actually loved when they first see each other again.
Yeah,
because it's like
so happy,
they realize these guys saved each other's lives and they owe each other, and it's this sort of connection they have, even though they don't really know each other.
So, the other thing, the last thing, was the music for me. The first time I watched it, I was like, oh, I want more of the old stuff to come back, but the old stuff was very effective when it did come back because it wasn't overused. But I rewatched it again today, and there's two really good themes in it. And it's like the Kylo Ren theme, where it's like the Imperial March, but different slightly.
Right.
And Rey's theme, where she's on Jakku, it's like, no, no, no. And it's really cool. But I just thought the music at first was a bit generic and not as good as some of his other stuff. Like Sith, whatever you say, had a really good soundtrack. Like, there's so many good themes going on in there, and for me, half of what makes Star Wars really great is the soundtrack at times, because it's the moments, like, when you see Luke at the end and you got the Tatooine theme, where he's looking at the sunset.
Yeah.
Or the charred bodies of his fucking aunt and uncle. But I was just wondering what your views was it on the music. Was you satisfied with it? Did you notice it, or...
I was satisfied with it. It essentially sounded to me just like a tinkered version of the original trilogy soundtrack, which I was happy with. There wasn't anything that like blew me away like when I first heard Duel of the Fates, which was probably the best thing from the prequels. And there is this thing in me where I kind of hope they use it or a tinkered version of it in one of the new movies at some point, because that's a great, great piece of music. So, I mean, like we said in the whole podcast anyway, what they're doing is playing it safe for this movie anyway, which is probably why my expectations weren't super high. I would have been happy if it just worked, you know, and they played it safe. But yeah, they played it safe with the music as well as everything else, and it still was amazing. So, I mean, I was happy with the soundtrack, but yeah, hopefully there's a lot more new stuff going forward.
But I'm hoping it's going to be solid, good stuff. Because
how old is John Williams now?
That's why I was thinking, why didn't they just bring on fucking JJ's composer for everything else? Because I reckon he would have done a good job, like the Star Trek music.
I've just checked out. He's turning 84.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Quite soon. So maybe, I mean, this is like, people be like, this is sacrilegious. But no, maybe it's good that, you know, they got him back to kind of rehash, you know, his music for this one and then move on. You know, bring in some new blood, like they're doing with the directors and stuff. In fact, for the spin-off movies, at least, it makes sense to have different composers, give different guys a crack at it, see what new stuff they can do. Anyway.
Fair enough. Any other thoughts, guys?
Not really. I think we've covered pretty much everything. I mean, like I said, I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, couldn't be happy with it. Like, I loved it. Can't wait for the next one. I'm gonna go see it again tomorrow night, and I'm seeing it again the following night with another friend. So like, I'm in. Like, I'll be seeing it maybe another few times after that. I love this movie.
Well, I saw
it's one of my favorites in the year. Not just because it's Mad Max, but it's very
for me. Good. I would say I actually preferred this to Mad Max.
Get out.
I saw this in just a regular theater. I didn't want to watch it in 3D, which means I had to watch it in a smaller screen, actually, because I don't know why. They reserve all the big screens for 3D showings, which I really fucking hate. But, I, you know, obviously it was still great. I've got, you know, my IMAX ticket on Christmas Eve, so I'll be watching it again at that point. The person I saw it with has already seen it three times.
Fuck.
They're going to probably watch it about six or more times by the time, you know, the run stopped. But I couldn't be happier with it. It really surpassed my expectations.
Right, man, I'll close up the show then. Geez, that was a quick hour. Hope you guys liked the show. If we missed anything, which we probably have, I mean, the only other thing we could have done was
the one thing we did miss, which you just reminded me of when you said we did a really quick show. I was going to say, yeah, we're going at J.J. Abrams' pace. We could have actually talked about the pace of the movie, which was like lightning quick. And I know some people who struggled with, you know, keeping up with everything, how characters were moving around and whatnot. But I think that was fine because, you know, there was a plot there, obviously. It wasn't super strong. Like we said, it was a rehash, but it made sense. So you knew why guys were going from one place to the next. Unlike, for example, in JJ's Star Trek films, which, you know, the guys who wrote those just kind of making shit up as they were going along, and guys were going here and there for no real reason whatsoever. So the pace of the movie in that regard, I was fine with.
Damn. There you go, another closing thought. You liked the show, like and subscribe. That is all from us, guys. May the force be with you.